Jay Cutler with Waddle and Silva.
Cutler down the middle, right in stride.
Jay Cutler, Fridays at 3.
Second and 10, finds the pocket. Cutler, what a grab for the touchdown!
Fridays at 3.
That was a sick throw by Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler on ESPN 1000.
That's right, 3 o'clock in the football season. Jay Cutler joins us just like he did back in the day when he was the quarterback here slinging it.
Did he ever join us here at Twin Peaks in Oak Brook?
I don't believe this was a place that we've been with Jay, but we've been all over Chicago with Jay.
Yeah.
And he's brought to you by Cuts by Jay and Pat. Great stuff. Visit cutsbyjayandpat.com and taste Jay's meat. Check out Jay's podcast as well, Uncut with Jay Cutler. Hey, Jay, happy Friday.
Well, how we doing, boys?
Well, it's been a week of Bears change and turmoil again, as expected. So it's been frustrating.
Were you guys surprised?
No. You know what? I take that back. I think I was a little bit surprised. I shouldn't have been. I was a little bit surprised that they actually went through with getting rid of Ryan Pace as well as the coach. I thought they may, because they like him so much, they may cling to him for another year or so.
I was surprised by that, too. I thought that they were just going to fire Nagy and keep Pace around for another year or move him in a different direction. I have no idea.
You know, you were in that building for a while. They upstairs, they've never been able to get this right. I don't know if there's an easy answer to this, Jay, but from your perspective, having been in the building, why haven't they been able to get this right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Not to their credit, but, I mean, there's a lot of NFL teams that haven't gotten it right.
Right.
So it's not like they're, you know, the only ones that aren't getting it right. I mean, it just hasn't happened, and there's a lot of NFL teams out there that we can point to and be like, you know what, they haven't gotten it right in the last 20 years either. So, you know, I think it boils down to just not – I mean, there's good coaches out there. There's just not a lot of great coaches. I mean, I think that's the hard part. And then putting together – you know, the GM and the coach and drafting right. You know, a lot of things have to go right for a team to come together.
Did you read the quotes or watch George McCaskey? Because that's what it's like, they're so tone deaf and they continue to make the same mistakes that they made 10 years ago in the present.
I mean, didn't they say they were going to hire a GM and then the GM was going to hire a coach?
No.
Well, they actually said that would be the preference, but if in fact there is a coach that catches their eye, they'd hire the coach before the general manager.
You know, I think that's a hard way to do it. You know, I think you got to marry the two together at some point. And if you're hiring them separately, or, you know, it just makes it, I mean, the GM just has a tough job. I mean, that's not his guy. You know, and they've ran into that situation before. They've hired the coach. And they hire the GM, and it doesn't work. And the GM's like, well, that's not my guy. I need another coach, and I need 3 more years. And then, you know, you're down this whole different other rabbit hole in the path.
Did you feel that dysfunction in the building in that manner when you were there, whether it was Emery or whoever else it was?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You definitely feel that. You know whenever things aren't going well, and you know upstairs, you know, who hired who. I mean, everyone does. I mean, it's human nature. So it's just, I mean, there's certain ways to do it. There's certain ways not to do it. Sometimes it works out. If you do it the other way, sometimes it doesn't. So I don't know who they're going to hire. I don't know which direction they're going to go, but hopefully they make some solid decisions. But
some better decisions.
History isn't on their side.
That's the problem, is like you use the past to predict the future. And, you know, you were just talking about this, the general manager picking the coach. To me, like, what if they fall in love with this coach and then they decide on the coach and the general manager, who is his boss, isn't picked yet, and then Ted Phillips basically has more of a role in hiring the coach than his own general manager is going to get.
Exactly. And, you know, you're having non-football people pick out football people.
Right.
Even though they think they're football people, I mean, they're just not. So, you know, I think that's where the disconnect starts to happen. And then you, like you said, you hire this coach, and then the GM doesn't really like him, or that's not his guy, and, you know, he's got to work together with him, but he wants to be a GM, so he's going to take the job. He's not going to say no. It just gets backwards sometimes.
I don't know if you ever had this feeling, so tell me if this didn't come up, but you're traded here in 09. We're all very excited. You're excited to be here. You grew up a Bears fan. When did you, if you ever did, realize, oh my gosh,
this place is a mess.
This franchise isn't what I dreamt it to be?
First week. I'm being serious.
Why?
Elaborate.
Yeah.
Well, man, because I came from Denver. I came from Mike Shanahan's world. So, like, everything was, I mean, quarterback friendly. Everything was, you know, first class. We did things the right way. And I'm not saying that the Bears didn't do things the right way. They definitely did. It was a first class organization. It's just, I knew, you know, that first week looking at the playbook and how things were running. I was like, this is not what I'm used to the last 3 years. This is going to be a different experience. And this is not going to be, this is going to be tough. This is going to be really tough.
Hey, let's go in the Wayback Machine. There was an article written today in The Athletic that chronicles all of the mistakes that the Bears have made in their front office. And there's part of the article is about when they decided to hire Tressman over Arians. And I'd be interested to get your take on this. Jake Arians, I guess, is Bruce's son, who was his advisor. And part of the – when the decision was being made, Bruce is in the area – and Jake had this to say. He thought he had it, speaking of his dad. He was excited about coaching Jay Cutler. With no risk it, no biscuit, he thought Jay could have had some monster years. When Bruce was interviewing for the job, how much contact did you have with him, and were you excited at the potential of actually maybe working with Bruce Arians?
I met with him. I met with him and talked with him. And, you know, we talked football a little bit. We talked philosophy. I was excited about him, and I thought he had the job as well. I was kind of surprised by that. I met with Tressman too, but everyone upstairs was just enamored by Mark for some unknown reason. Like, he was a little bit of an unknown quantity. He was a different guy. He was talking more kind of people philosophy than football. You know, that was kind of his thing. He was very unselfish, and he wanted his players to kind of mimic that, and you know, upstairs loved it. So that's the direction I went. But I was fine. But I was excited about Bruce. Bruce was, he was a good dude. He was cool as hell whenever I talked to him.
Jay, I know it's hard to go back and predict the future, but do you believe had they hired Bruce Arians that not only would it have changed your arc as a player, but it may have changed the organization's arc?
Well, I mean, we had some dudes on offense. I mean, we had some guys that could go. And with Bruce's offense and pushing the ball downfield and, you know, doing all the things, you look at his success of everywhere he's been, it's kind of undeniable. So it would have been fun. You never know how things are going to go or how it's going to turn out. It might not have worked, but I think we would have a shot.
Have you heard the Olin Krutz was offered a job for $15 story coming out of Hallis Hall in the last week or two?
I have not, but tell me.
So Olin told the story that he was helping the offensive line a few years back with Harry Hiestand, who I believe was an O-line coach when you were there too, or with Lovie.
Yep.
Maybe. Yeah, so he
yep.
was there. He goes to Notre Dame. Olin's got the relationship with him. He comes back for the second tour. And he's with Nagy, and so Olin's yep. helping out. And the Bears, and Hiestand wanted to make him a little more, you know, like part-time-ish.
Make it a little more official.
Right. Yeah. And so supposedly the offer came back for a $15 an hour job, which Olin insists is the truth, and George McCaskey is calling Olin a liar.
And as you know, calling Olin a liar didn't go over well.
Yeah.
That's not going to sit well with him. I mean, I don't know why he would lie about it. If he said it's $15, it's probably $15.
Right.
Like, I've never known Olin to lie about things. He's pretty straightforward about everything he damn does.
Like, Jay, they can't get out of their own way. Do you know what I mean? Even the easy stuff, they can't make easy.
No, I totally agree. And the easy stuff it becomes hard, and the hard stuff becomes impossible. We talked about it. We talked about it weeks ago. They just got to get someone in there. They got to get a GM in there that is a football guy. That is, you know, the buck stops with him. You know, he makes all the decisions. He, you know, makes it happen. He drafts well, and like everything comes and goes through him. You know, I think there's just too many people down there making decisions. There's just, you know, there's a lot of voices. And there's a lot of football people making football, non-football people making football decisions, which that gets you in trouble. You know, I think you look across the league and, like, all these owners think they're football people, and they're, you know, a lot of them just aren't. Just that's just the nature of the business. You know, they got their money some doing something else, or they inherited it, or they did something. Just because you watch football all the time doesn't make you a football person.
How was your interaction with Ryan Pace? I know it wasn't that long, but how long? What was that relationship like from your perspective?
It was good. I always liked Ryan. You know, I thought he did a good job. He worked hard. You know, he came from, I think he was in New Orleans whenever we got him. And, you know, I thought he did a good job. It's just, you know, that job boils down to drafting well and getting the right free agents in. I mean, that's just kind of that's the nature of the beast. And if you don't draft well, it's not going to go well for you. And unfortunately, you know, there's a few draft picks, you know, throughout the years that didn't pan out. And, you know, you can only miss on first and second rounders so many times.
Jay Cutler joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. How was your Bears game day experience as a fan, and did you run into anybody from upstairs?
Yeah, I saw Ted. Ran into him. It was fun. The kids had a blast. It was good to be back. I mean, I think the first play was sack fumble, and it kind of rolled from there. So it was a good experience. The kids were amazing. It was snowing to start the game. Sun came out. So it was a good day in Chicago.
Did the kids have more fun watching the football game, the basketball game, or the hockey game?
If you ask the boys, they're probably going to say basketball. But I think that it was probably the hockey game because it was a great game. Went into overtime. We lost in overtime. But, you know, I think we were down 2-0 and then scored three in a hurry. They scored another one, went to overtime. It was an electric game.
Did it bring back memories for you being in the city for as many days as you were?
It did. It did. You know, we were driving around and we drove by the hospital that, you know, Camden and Jackson were born. So, you know, that's where you guys were born. And, you know, we went by the condo we used to have. We went to a steak dinner. So it was a lot of fun.
Hey, big games tomorrow, Sunday, and then one Monday night. Do you have any feel for these first round playoff games?
You know, I don't. You know, I think you get in these playoff games and anything. And you know, that the bottom half of the field is so, I mean, everyone's kind of the same. Anyone can win. It's going to be fun. I think this is going to be a really good playoff week.
Do you like a team like Cincinnati? And tell me how you think Cincinnati will do going through the AFC. It's a young team. It's an explosive team, but it's a team I don't believe the organization's won a playoff game since the mid-90s.
Yeah, you know, a team like that, you know, you just never know. Like, they're young, they're inexperienced, they've never been in these playoffs. And I was talking to Chris Thompson and Aaron Andrews a couple of days ago, and, you know, you get into these games, and, you know, I think you get through the first four weeks of the season, everyone's flying around. And then, you know, you get some injuries, everyone kind of slows down, and then the playoffs start ramping back up, and the game gets really fast again. And defenses are flying again, and it just gets ramped up. And so some of these younger teams are going to have to deal with that.
Where did you go on their podcast, or were they on your podcast?
That went on their podcast. The Calm Down podcast, I think it's what it's called. They're fun. They're good.
Did you know that Aaron Andrews was very good at impressions?
I did not know that. That's the first that I've seen of that, but she is very good.
When she did the Sean McVay impression, it was pretty hilarious. Yeah, it was good.
She nailed it.
Yeah, she did. I think he's probably pretty easy to kind of get his speech down, but you know, all impressions are different.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
It's very good. It's funny. Yeah, it's very funny.
I've known Krista. Krista was in Denver whenever I was out there. She was working for a news station out there, so I've known her for a long time.
Do you have any good guests coming up on the podcast? Are you efforting someone big here in the next few weeks?
No, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I mean, everyone's good, so I'm actually.
No, Sylvie, you're on next week.
Let's re-rack this here. Jay, do you have any big guests coming up here in the next few weeks?
They're all great. I think we're trying to track down someone that, you know, an alien expert, which I'm excited about. I messed up. I was in Florida, and I played golf with Donald Trump. And after we left, I was like, oh, my gosh, I didn't ask about aliens. Like, that's the only thing I should ask him about. Hey, can you tell me anything about aliens?
You didn't? I know, because we're a big alien show, too.
Yeah.
I know. I messed that one up. I should have asked him. I think he might have maybe gave you something, but
call him back. On that one. Send him a text. Oh, by the way, I wanted to know about aliens. Can I get some alien
information? Hey, Mr. President, can you tell me some info on aliens? Some stuff that's blacklisted, maybe?
Does he reach out to you? Do you reach out to him? How does that golf match come together here?
I was with Brittany and Jason Aldean, and we were down there, and you know they had it all set up, and I just kind of lucked into it and got thrown in the mix. So it was more just them doing it, and I just was kind of along for the ride. So I got lucky.
By the way, are you enjoying the podcast business?
I am. I'm getting used to it. You know, it's. You know, I like it whenever I can do two or three and kind of get caught up. Like right now, I'm behind a little bit, so I got to get to work next week and do two or three and kind of get caught up. But it's going well. I mean, I enjoy talking to the people, and you know, you learn different stuff, and it's an interesting world. I think now, like, that's kind of where people get their news. You know, no one's really watching CNN or Fox News anymore. That you know, they're getting a lot of information from you know, like radio shows and. Podcasts and you know different spaces, so it's fun to be a part of that.
Well, we've got all the important information on this show. This 2 to 6.
We're educating people. Yeah, no
doubt.
Stop. This
no
is
doubt.
It right here.
I mean, you guys just got hours of gibberish.
Before we let you go, two football players and drama off the field. What'd you make of the Aaron Rodgers versus Hubarkish name calling thing?
You know, I think if you're going to vote. For the MVP, you got to be impartial. Like you can't go down that world. And you know, Aaron's just in a place where he's not going to take much from anybody at this point. So if you fire off, he's coming at you.
Yeah, it's very true. He's going to call you names.
Yeah,
he's going to drop.
Yeah, he does not care.
Yeah,
it's pretty clear. So if you're in his sights, you better buckle up.
And then if the Jay Cutler had a football team, would you ever employ Antonio Brown?
I would not employ Antonio Brown. I think that anyone's crazy right now if they're going to give him a shot again. I mean, I think he's an unbelievable talent, obviously. But, you know, doing what he did, I mean, I think that's probably the end of the road for most teams for him.
The simple, you know, measuring stick or, you know, litmus test is the juice worth the squeeze? And at this point, I think the answer to that question is no. Emphatically.
No, I mean, I mean, just the culture of your locker room. Like you're sending a message that you know it's not good. So it's, I mean, unless he goes and gets some help and you know comes back a completely different person and you know says a lot of the right things, I think it's tough for him.
Hey, real quick, finally before the playoffs do kick off, who was your Super Bowl pick?
Today.
Who?
Green Bay.
Green Bay. Okay.
You said that fast. It was almost like you didn't.
It's almost like you didn't want to say it. Green Bay.
Yeah, I think you know way Aaron's playing, and then you have to go through Green Bay, and the defense is good. The defense is solid this year. You know they get turnovers, they get stops when they need to. It's going to be tough for anyone to beat them up there.
The crazy thing for me is the team I would tell you that would give them the most trouble because the one hole on defense is their run defense. Could be the 49ers if the 49ers can get there.
Yep. Yeah. If anyone commits and runs the ball 30, 40 times and is successful, like they're, you know, you keep the ball out of Aaron's hands, you eat up the clock. You know, that's your recipe. But you know, doing that up there in the weather is you know, there's not a lot of teams that can pull that off.
Yeah. All right, Jay. Enjoy the wild card weekend. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
Thank
Jay.
You.
All right, boys.
There you go, Jay Cutler. Brought to you by Cuts by Jay and Pat. Visit cutsbyjayandpat.com. And check out Jay's podcast, Uncut, with Jay Cutler.
Had a chance to get us some inside alien information and failed.
That was the least surprising thing, though, that I have heard in a long, long time about that golf game.
Yeah.
And then there was something, though, that stood out to me from that interview. I want to talk about that. We've got Waddle's World. We'll get into the wild card games. It's a glorious weekend in football. I want to talk some Bulls. A lot coming up as we are at Twin Peaks in Oakbrook Terrace. Come out and see us.